الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were discussing the issue related to the pillars of al-Hajj, arkan al-Hajj, and we have seen that the actions and the deeds, the sacred rites that are performed in al-Hajj, they are different levels and different categories with regards to the ruling, and some of them are more emphasized than others. And the people of knowledge have found that there are actions that must be performed. They're mandatory and an obligation. And there is no replacement for them. And if a person were to miss one or not perform it properly, then the sacred rites of Hajj will not be performed, and he will not have established those rites. And then there are other actions and deeds from the actions and the sacred rites of al-Hajj that are likewise mandatory and an obligation. But if a person was not able to perform them, or he left them for one reason or another, he is able to rectify that by bringing something in his place. I need to make an expiation and slaughtering an animal. And then there are also other actions as well that are very important and from the completion and the perfection of Hajj, but they're not obligatory. So therefore, from here, the people of knowledge, after examining the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah in detail, they have found that the deeds of al-Hajj, they are in three different categories: al-arkan, wal-wajibat, wa-sunan. Al-arkan, wal-wajibat, wa-sunan. The pillars and the obligations and the recommended and preferred actions. This is with regards to the deeds that one performs. As for the statements, then the people of knowledge have, after examining the evidences, have found that all of the statements, they are from the recommended affairs, and none of the statements that are pronounced with the tongue are an obligation. None of the statements that are pronounced with the tongue from the statements in the sacred rites of al-Hajj are an obligation. Rather, they're all recommended and good and from the perfection and the completion of Hajj. But if a person were to leave them, then his Hajj would be considered correct. And Allah knows best. So we had begun studying the pillars of al-Hajj. And we have seen that the people of knowledge have numbered them in a few numbers. How many are they?
Four.
There are four. The pillars of al-Hajj, arkanu al-Hajji, arba'a. There are four of them. Who knows them? Al-Ihram, Al-Wukuf bi-Arafah. Tawaf al-Ifada and the Sa'i, Baina al-Safa wa Marwa. So these are the four pillars. These are the actions that must be there. This is all of Hajj? No, these pillars, this is all of Hajj? No, we discussed that. No, that's not all of Hajj. Rather, these are the pillars of Hajj. These are the actions that must be brought for the Hajj to be established. But after that, likewise, there are other actions as well. As we've seen, the wajibat. That are very important and highly emphasized and mandatory as well, and likewise sunan. But the point is now that for the Hajj to be established, for it to be correct and considered legislated and to be performed, these pillars must be brought first and foremost. And then along with them the obligations as well, and along with them that which will beautify that and perfect it and be a means to complete it from the non-obligatory actions and the recommended statements and deeds. But the topic now continues with the pillars. So far we have discussed the issue of al-ihram, and what is intended here from the pillar of al-ihram is al-niyyah lid-dukhuli fi an-nusuk, the intention to enter into the sacred state of al-ihram, the sacred state of performing al-hajj, or the sacred state of performing al-umrah. This is called al-ihram. This is the pillar here. But the word ihram is also used to refer to other issues likewise. Rather, the word ihram is also related to a wajib, an obligation of Hajj. So the one that is the pillar, this is niyatul dukhuli fi an-nusuk. The one that is the pillar is the intention to enter into the state of al-ihram, to enter into the state of the sacred rites. This is the pillar. This is the pillar. So this pillar here is not related to time or place. This pillar here is not related to time or place. It can be wherever one may be, and whatever time it may be, he can enter into that sacred state with his intention. With his intention, right? There was one aspect of the ihram also, not to be confused, that is related to the wajib. What was that? To make that intention before crossing the miqat. This one will come in more detail, but just to review. Inshallah, but just to review. So also the word ihram is used to refer to an obligation of hajj. And this is to have that intention to enter into that sacred state before crossing the miqat. Before crossing the miqat. And also the word ihram is used as another term we took. Yani to be in that state where a person, he must avoid the mahdurat of al-ihram. Whenever a person enters into that sacred state, now there are things that used to be allowed and permissible for him that become impermissible while he's in that state. Those things are called mahdurat. Mahdurat al-ihram. Yani mamnu'at, the things that are mamnu'ah, the things that are prohibited, not allowed for him to pursue or to perpetrate or commit or to do. These are called the mahdura. We haven't discussed them yet, but inshallah we will. But the point now is to understand the pillar and not to be confused with these other aspects, because sometimes the people of knowledge will use this term and they'll refer to one and not the other. Or sometimes a person himself who used this term and he's referring to one and not the other. So we need to be able to identify what we're intending when we're saying ihram, talking about the pillar, what we're intending whenever we say al-ihram, talking about the wajib, and what we're intending about al-ihram being in that state and leaving off and avoiding everything that's impermissible. Everything that's impermissible. And that in the reality of al-ihram, that is the pillar, it is an intention. Is an intention. So therefore, a person, he could have the clothing of ihram on and not be in ihram. So we shouldn't be confused. So not everybody who has the clothing of ihram on is in ihram, because the ihram is not the clothing. The ihram is the intention. Is the intention. There was a sunnah also with regards to the ihram. What was that?
To utter it, to state it out loud.
To state it out loud. And to identify the type of the rites that one is performing. Mm-hmm. To identify that verbally. This is something that's specific to Hajj only. The only time that this action of worship will be, the type of worship will be identified out loud, is here in these sacred rites of Al-Hajj or in Al-Umrah while entering into the state of Al-Ihram. But that statement and the pronunciation of that, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah, and the likes like this, this is only a sunnah. So what is considered with regards to the pillar and the means for entering into that state, and that which is considered from the state that one will be in, is that which is in the heart, and the heart, not that which is on the tongue. So if there's ever a mistake between the two, which one is considered?
The heart.
The heart. And the evidence of that is? Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Naam. This is the case here. And likewise, the consensus with regards to that, the consensus of the scholars. This is something that has proceeded with regards to al-ihram. Also, we had taken in the previous class the al-wukuf bi-arafah. Al-wukuf bi-arafah. And we have seen that this is from the greatest pillars. And this is a pillar that if a person misses it, it's not possible for him to catch it. If a person misses it, there's no way to make it up. There's no way to go back and get it. If the time passes, then it's passed. And a person, he has missed Hajj in this year. A person has missed Hajj in this year. And what is intended min al-wukuf bi-arafah? What is intended by al-wukuf bi-arafah? Standing on Arafah is to be present on Arafah on the daytime, sometime in the daytime or in the nighttime. Sometime in the daytime or in the nighttime. Who remembers the period which is legislated and from the pillar that one, he must be present yani in that time, sometime in that time for him to catch this pillar? From Dhuhr. From Dhuhr on which day? Yom Arafah. Ahsan. From Dhuhr on Yom Arafah, which is what day is Yom Arafah on the calendar? Huh? Abdurrahim, say it again.
Ninth.
The ninth. Don't be scared. Ahsanta. I want you to answer. Barakallah feek. I'm happy when you answer. Wallahi, wallahi. Jazakallah khairan. Jazakallah. I know Abdurrahim for many years. We used to be together, studying together before. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. So from Dhuhr on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah. From Dhuhr on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, until Fajr, the Yom al-Eid. Until Fajr, Yom al-Eid. Yom al-Eid, which is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. So this is the night of Arafah, which is an exception to the principle in the calendar. The day of Arafah precedes the night. So therefore the period for catching the pillar of standing on Arafah, which is the greatest pillar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said al-hajju arafah, and the same meaning that the hajj, it is Arafah, and he mainly because of the importance of that, meaning the majority of hajj is Arafah. If the person catches Arafah, then inshallah he'll be able to complete the hajj. If he missed the Arafah, he will not, his hajj is completely lost for that year. If a person, he made ihram with the intention to make hajj, and he missed standing on Arafah, in the time of Arafah, before the time, he didn't make it until the time it left, then now his hajj turns into umrah, and he has to come back the next year. And there's no way his opportunity for hajj this year, that year, is completely finished. So it's from Dhuhr on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah until Fajr on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. It's from Dhuhr on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is Yom Arafah, until Fajr the next day, which is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is Yom Al-Eid. Yom Al-Eid. This is the time to catch the pillar. He has to be present. He has to be present in Arafah, in the lands of Arafah, anywhere. Not in any specific place in Arafah, but in Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَقَفْتُ هَهُنَا وَعَرَفَ كُلُّهَا مَوْقِفٍ. I stopped here, but Arafah, all of it is a place for standing, a place for fulfilling that right. So he has to be present there for a moment at least, sometime in the daytime or in the nighttime. The sunnah is to be there from Dhuhr until Maghrib, and to leave briefly after Maghrib, but to know the pillar, because somebody, he may have the intention to get there at Dhuhr time and stay there till Maghrib time, but then the decree of Allah comes and it was not decreed for him to get there. He's not able to get there. There's traffic, or his bus is lost, or his car broke down, or so many, he got lost, or so many different things could possibly happen to prohibit him from getting there, but he has to get there. So to know what is the sunnah, and to intend that, this is what one he will hope for. But also to know what is incumbent in order to be able to achieve that if something happens. At least he knows how to fulfill that right. At least he knows how to fulfill that right. For example, if something happened and he was not able to get to Arafah because of traffic or because of one thing or another until Maghrib time, he would not give up hope. Rather, he would continue to try to get there so long as Fajr didn't come. And catching that great pillar. Catching that great pillar. From the narrations that indicate, this is a famous narration of Urwa ibn Mudarris al-Ta'i radiallahu anhu. He says, أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالموقف يعني بجمع قلت جئت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جبل طي أكللت مطيتي وأتأبت نفسي والله ما تركت من جبل إلا وقفت عليه فهل لي من حج. So he says, Urwa ibn Mudarris radiallahu anhu at Ta'i, he's from this tribe of Tay, and he's coming from his lands, and he says that I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil mawqif yani bi jam'a, whenever he's in Muzdalifah, meaning at night time, just before the Fajr time, radiallahu anhu. And he says, I came to you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the mountains of Tay, and I have tired my riding animal and wore out myself. And I swear by Allah, I did not leave any mountain except I stood on it and I stopped there. And he was not certain which mountain is Arafah and which land is the land of Arafah. So he's coming from his lands and he's late trying to catch up. And he spent the whole day and the whole night trying to find Arafah. And he says that he swears by Allah that there's not, between me and my land and here, there's not one mountain except I stopped there. I stopped there until my riding animal was finished and tired, completely exhausted, and likewise I had worn myself out. He says, do I have Hajj? do I have Hajj? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من أدرك معنا هذه الصلاة, whoever catches this prayer with us, meaning the Fajr prayer in Muzdalifa, which is the next morning. This is the Fajr prayer of the day of Eid. The Fajr prayer of the day of Eid. He says, وَأَتَى عَرَفَاتْ قَبَلَ ذَلِكَ لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. And he came to Arafah before that, sometime in the day or in the night. Sometime in the day or in the night, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ تَمَّ حَجُّهُ وَقَضَى تَفَثَهُ. Then indeed he has completed his Hajj, and he meaning the majority of his Hajj, he caught Arafah, he has fulfilled the sacred rites. He was not even certain which land it is. So the people of Nahr has mentioned it's not an obligation to know that one is there, but it's to be there. To be there, even if somebody was there and he did not know he was there, and he found out later that he was there, then, and in the right time, then it would be considered that he stood there. For example, somebody got lost, like him. And then they said, where have you been? He said, I was here, I was there. He said, well, did you go to Arafah? He said, I don't know what Arafah. He said, where were you? I was over by the masjid in this direction. They're like, oh yeah, that's Arafah. He said, Alhamdulillah, you was in Arafah. Alhamdulillah, you was in Arafah. Even if he didn't know he was there, and he thought he's not sure, and the lights like this, similar like this, but he has to be there. And the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَقَدْ أَتَى عَرَفَاتْ قَبْرَ ذَلِكَ لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. And he came to Arafah before that, before Muzdalifah, before that Fajr prayer. He came to Arafah before that, in the daytime, sometime in the daytime or in the nighttime, then he has completed the Hajj. I mean, then he has fulfilled this right here. So some of the people of knowledge from the Imam Ahmad, he mentioned that this is an indication that the time for standing in Arafah is any time in the daytime and any time in the nighttime. But we mentioned that the pillar is in reality from Dhuhr. And from Dhuhr. So how do we understand this narration? Because it's very general here. Any time in the daytime, any time in the nighttime. What was the evidence the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, for the fact that it's at Dhuhr time and not at the beginning? It's not from Fajr to Fajr, rather it's from Dhuhr to Fajr.
So if someone waited, he didn't go there until after Dhuhr.
Ahsanta. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he left out from Mina on the day of Arafah, he came in the morning time and he stopped at a place just before Arafah, called Namira. That's where the masjid is now. Masjid al-Namira. There's a masjid there, but before, at this time he stopped there just before Arafah, very close, in the morning time, and they pitched a tent for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he waited there right until the Dhuhr time. At that time his animal was brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he entered Arafah, and he entered into Arafah. So the people of Nahr has mentioned that this is the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was very diligent to fulfill these rites and to perform them properly. And the fact that he waited to enter Arafah until this time, and that he remained until Maghrib time, this is the clarification of the time. And that is not allowed before that. So then this narration here is understood in the light of that, in the light of the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah knows best. So the point is, now the pillar of Arafah, it is from the time of Dhuhr on the 9th until the Fajr prayer the next morning, which is the tenth morning, the day of Eid. The one who comes at this time and he's there present while he's sane, then he has caught that pillar. Also, we will see there's an obligation that's related to standing in Arafah as well, and this is to stand there a portion of the night. More details of this one, inshallah, will come. But just to mention now along, because we mentioned Arafah, the pillar is to be there any time in the daytime or the nighttime from that period that we mentioned. And the obligation, the wajib, is to be there a portion of the night. And yaqifa juz'an min al-layl. So the proper way to do it is to be there from Dhuhr all the way until Maghrib. After Maghrib, to leave. After Maghrib comes in. And before praying the Maghrib, to leave to go to Muzdalifah. This is the sunnah and this is the proper way. So in this manner, one will catch the daytime and a portion of the night. So likewise, if a person, he came in the daytime and then he left for some reason, but then he came back after Maghrib, before Fajr, then he caught that pillar and the wajib. And the wajib, even if somebody, he was not able to get there in the daytime, but he got there at nighttime. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stands there on the daytime or the nighttime, then he has made it like this. But the people of Allah, they mentioned the obligation is to have a portion of the night. The obligation is to have a portion of the night. So if a person, he got there at nighttime only, he got the pillar and the wajib, and the wajib. He got the pillar and the obligation, and he's good. And he's good. This was what we have discussed with regards to the second pillar. Now we begin with regards to the third pillar, which is tawafu al-ifada. Tawafu al-ifada. This pillar here is about the tawaf, which is going around the Kaaba. It's called tawaf al-ifada. So it's not any tawaf. There's a number of different types of tawaf. So the one that is the pillar is called tawaf al-ifada. Also, this pillar in the language of the fuqaha is known as tawaf al-rukn. Tawaf al-rukn. Or tawaf al-farud. Or tawaf al-ziyara. Also, they call it tawaf al-sadr. So these names here, all of them have been used to refer to this same tawaf here, which is the pillar from the pillars of Hajj. They call it tawaf al-ifada. This is one of the most famous names. Also, they call it tawaf al-rukn. Or tawaf al-farud. Both of them, they have the same meaning here. Both of them, they have the same meaning here. It's called tawaf al-rukn because it's a rukn. Al-tawaf al-farud because it's an obligation. It's the farud. Farud has the same meaning of rukn here. Or it's called tawaf al-ziyara. Tawaf al-ziyara. Ma ma'na ziyara. What's the meaning of ziyara? To visit. To visit. It's called the tawaf of visiting because the people are staying in Mina at this time and they'll go to al-Masjid al-Haram to visit, not to stay. Rather to visit, only to make tawaf and leave and come back to Mina. To leave and come back to Mina. So originally they're staying in Mina. Now, and then they'll make the tawaf al-ifada or tawaf al-ziyara. They'll visit the house of Allah Azza wa Jal to make tawaf and come back and stay in Mina. So it's called tawaf al-ziyara. Tawaf al-ziyara also is called tawaf al-sadr. لَنَهُمْ يَصْدُرُونَ مِنْ مِنَا like this. So the people of Nara, as they mentioned with regards to the tawaf, the definition, and this is very important. التَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ طواف الرفاضة أن طواف in general التعبد لله بالدوران حول الكعبة. It is to worship Allah عز وجل by going around the Kaaba على صفة مخصوصة. على صفة مخصوصة in a specific manner. In a specific manner with a specific description. يعني على ما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning in the manner that has come from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's very important though. So this is التَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ بِالدَّوَرَانِ حَوْلِ الْقَعْبَةِ. This is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. It's an action of worship. One is drawing near to Allah, hoping for the reward and the pleasure of Allah by walking around the Kaaba in this specific manner. In this specific manner. So from here we have to understand that people of Nara, as they mentioned, that every other tawaf, tawaf in general is dawaran, to go around something. And here, to go around something. So every other tawaf besides the tawaf around the Kaaba is haram and not allowed if it's intended as an action of worship. If it's intended as an action of worship. And the level of the prohibition varies. The level of prohibition varies. It could be haram and not allowed, or likewise it could even reach the level where it's considered shirk, major shirk and disbelief. Major shirk and disbelief, making tawaf, walking around something as an action of worship, could be something that's haram and not allowed, could be considered innovation and from the most filthy and lowly of deeds, and it even could be considered an action of apostation, an action of disbelief, an action of shirk and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, with Allah Azza wa Jal. So every tawaf, every going or in circles around something that one will perform as an action of worship around other than the Kaaba is haram and not allowed. It's haram and not allowed. And the level of that varies according to the person's intention. Some people, you know, some people they make tawaf around the graves. Some people they make today, until today, they make tawaf around the graves. They build on top of the graves great buildings and they try to compete with the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They try to compete with the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then they build this big home, big house around the grave, and they decorate it, and then they make tawaf around it. And then they make tawaf around it. So if one is making tawaf around the grave, and then he believes that this is pleasing to Allah, and it means for him to draw near to Allah, what is the ruling? He's making tawaf around the grave. He's making tawaf around the grave, but he believes that it's pleasing to Allah. And he's seeking nearness to Allah by making tawaf around the grave. We have? Pay attention. Everybody, huh? He's making tawaf around the grave. Why? In his intention, why is he making tawaf around the grave? Because he believes it's pleasing to Allah. And he's doing it hoping to seek near to Allah. He's doing it hoping that to seek nearness to Allah. He's doing it for the sake of Allah. He thinks that it's pleasing to Allah. It's bid'ah. It's bid'ah. It's bid'ah meaning it's lesser than shirk. It's lesser than shirk. Because he's not seeking nearness. He's not calling on anyone besides Allah. He's calling on Allah alone. But he's doing it in a manner that's not legislated. He's doing it in a manner that's not legislated. So this here is an innovation. It's a major crime. It's a major violation and transgression against the Sharia and against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A violation against the Deen of Allah azza wa jal. But the severity of that is not of the severity of disbelief. It's an action of innovation, and it's from the worst of them because it's from the means that will lead to shirk. But it's not shirk in itself because of his intention. He's doing it for the sake of Allah. His belief is in Allah. He thinks that maybe because of the righteous person, the lands are blessed and the likes like this, so therefore it's good here and the likes like this, but his heart is attached to Allah. So therefore it's not shirk, it's innovation. It's innovation. So we have to be careful. So although this person is a criminal, we don't want to violate and become criminals by blaming him for something that more than what he deserves. More than what he deserves. Wala. يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا عِدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. So you have to be just. Even if we hate that innovation, we dislike that in a major way, but we can't violate the rights and take him out of Islam when he didn't leave Islam. أهل السنة أعلموا الخلق بالخالق وأرحم الخلق بالخلق. That the people of the Sunnah, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the people of the Sunnah, they're the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the Creator. And they're the most merciful of the people to the people. And by being just with them, putting everyone in their place. أُمِرْنَا أَن نُنَزِّلَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ كَمَا قَالَتْ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. We were ordered to put everybody in their proper place. So this man, he's an innovator. He's committing an action of innovation, and it's lesser than major shirk. We understand? Okay, another person is making tawaf around the grave. Same grave. Same time, maybe even. Possibly. But his intention now is to draw near to the person in the grave. Hoping that if he makes tawaf around his grave, that he'll intercede on his behalf. This man, he believes he's a righteous man in the grave. He believes he's a righteous man in the grave. And he believes that if he makes tawaf around his grave, and he humbles himself enough before this grave, that he'll make intercession on his behalf. This one is? Shirk Akbar. Shirkun Akbar. Regardless of whether he prays or whether his prayer is invalid, his prayer will not benefit him. His hajj, if he made hajj, if he fasted, his shahada, his adhkar, nothing that he has from deeds will benefit him. Waliyadhu billah. This person is a mushrik, regardless of what he says. Regardless of what he says, because he's worshipping other than Allah. So this person who's making tawaf around the grave, with the intention of drawing near to the one in the grave, hoping that the one in the grave will accept him, will help him, will benefit him, will intercede for him, or the likes like this, is the same. This action here is the same as if he called on the grave, help me, save me, provide me a child, give me money, save me, I'm in danger, help me, give me provision, I'm poor, I need help. The same as if he said that with his heart, to the same thing, because his heart is doing the same thing. So we've seen that in reality, all of the actions of worship, they're dua, a type of invocation. So whether one is calling with his tongue, this is clear. But likewise, whenever a person is making tawaf as an action of worship, he's calling also. This is an invocation, calling. The one he's making tawaf for, he's hoping that he's calling on that one to look at him and to accept from him. So the one who's making tawaf around the Kaaba for the sake of Allah, even if he's not saying anything, he's calling on Allah by his state of being. Likewise, the one who's praying, why is he praying? If you ask him why is he praying? He says, what do you want? He said, I want Allah to accept my prayer. I want Allah to forgive me and to have mercy on me. So even if he's not asking Allah for mercy, he's praying in a state calling on Allah for mercy. It's an irreality. The action is an invocation itself. So these actions of worship, they're likewise a type of dua and supplication and invocation. So now this person here in our example, by his action indeed, he's doing this action hoping that the one in the grave would accept from him and help him and aid him. So this is major shirk wa liyadu billah. So we see the difference here. There's definitely a difference. So the point now is to know that tawaf is not allowed to go around, to walk around as in circles around anything in the world as an action of worship except for the Kaaba. This is the only place where it's legislated to do this action of worship. This is the only place where it's legislated to do this action of worship. To do this action of worship. Also, there are individuals, they make tawaf around the mashayikh that are alive. Some of them. They'll make tawaf around their mashayikh and honoring them and respecting them. Some of these extreme Sufis. And if they go to these extremes, making tawaf around individuals and the likes like this, going around them in circles, putting them in the center and walking around them. And all of this is haram and not allowed. All of this is haram and not allowed. Wallahu musta'an. So here we have tawaf arifadah. Arifadah, it means in the Arabic language, here al-daf'u fi sayr. Al-daf'u fi sayr, to go off into something. Afadah yufidu, afid ifadatan. Meaning he's going out. Tawaf arifadah, yani afadah. He went out to perform it. He went out to do it. This is called like this, the people of not, as they mentioned, because a person, he's leaving from Mina and he's coming there. He's coming there. And it's also after any coming from where they were before. They had come from Arafah, they made Ifadah. Leaving Arafah, going to Muzdalifah, and they made Ifadah. Going from Muzdalifah to Mina, and now they're making Tawaf al-Ifadah. Making the Ifadah from Mina to Mecca. From Mina to Mecca. So Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, he mentioned in Al-Mughni, he says, وَسُمِيَ طَوَافَ الزِّيَارَةَ. Also from the names. وَسُمِيَ طَوَافَ الزِّيَارَةَ لِأَنُهُ يَأْتِي مِن مِنَا فَيَزُورُ الْبَيْتِ ولا يقيم بمكة بل يرجع إلى ميناء ويسمى طواف الإفاضة لأنه يأتي عند إفاضته من ميناء إلى مكة وهو ركن للحج لا يتم الحج إلا به لا نعلم فيه خلافا لا نعلم فيه خلافا. So Ibn Qudamah he says رحمه الله that طواف is called طواف الزيارة because it comes after leaving Mina. It comes because he will come from Mina to visit the house, and he will not stay in Mecca. Rather, he will go back to Mina. He'll go back to Mina because this is performed in the days of Mina, and the days of Mina on the day of Nahr, and then after that on the days of Mina, yani, which is on the days of Tashriq, whenever they're staying in Mina. So he says, likewise, it's called Tawaf al-Ifadah because he's coming after leaving Mina and coming to Mecca, and it's a pillar for Hajj, and the Hajj is not complete except by performing it, and we know no difference of opinion about that. So meaning that this is something that the scholars have agreed upon. But likewise, we see his tone that he's speaking about, and he doesn't say that this is something that is certain. Rather, this is something that we know no difference of opinion about that. This is from having the good manners in dealing with the statements of the people of knowledge, and in dealing with knowledge, instead of claiming something that one is not certain of, he will mention what he's certain of. And that is that we know no difference about that. If there's a difference of opinion with regards to that, we do not know that. We do not know that. And he is from those people of knowledge who search and who examine in detail the statements of the people of knowledge to find the differences of opinion. So this is a strong statement from him, as if he's saying it's a consensus. As if he's saying it's a consensus or something that the people of knowledge, they have agreed on. And this is because Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ and make the tawaf around al-bayt al-atiq, the ancient, the old home, the al-bayt al-atiq. And then the people of the scholars of tafsir, they all have an agreement that this is referring to tawaf al-ifadah, and he ends this verse. In this verse. And likewise, Ibn Abd al-Barr, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, huwa min fara'id al-hajj, la khilafa fi dhalika, bayna al-ulama. that this tawaf here is from the obligations, the great obligations of Hajj, and we know no difference of opinion with regards to this amongst the scholars. Amongst the scholars. It has been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, حَجَجْنَا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَفَضْنَا يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ فَحَاضَتْ صَفِيَّةُ فَأَرَادَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْهَا مَا يُرِيدُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. That Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that we made Hajj along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we made the ifadah on the day of Nahr. We went out on the day of Nahr. And Safiya, yani Safiya bint Huyay radiallahu anha, one of the noble wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she got her menses. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was wanting from her what a man wants from his wife. Aisha radiallahu anha, she told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaha hadat, that indeed she had gotten her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about this. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, O Messenger of Allah, innaha qad kanat afadat wa tafat bil bayti thumma hadat ba'da al ifada. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faltanfir idhan. So she informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at first that she had her menses. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about that, she informed him that she had her menses after she made tawaf al-ifadah. And she made the tawaf around the house, then she got her menses after that. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then she can leave then. And this is in Bukhari and in Muslim. And in one wording, likewise in Bukhari, the Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Ya Rasulullah, innaha ha'ilun. And she said about Safiya radiallahu anha, that indeed she is ha'il, and she is on her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ahabisatuna hiya, is she going to hold us back? And in that Safiya, she's on her menses now. She's not able to make the tawaf al-ifadah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is she going to hold us back? Qalu ya Rasulullah, afadat yawma an-nahr. And then the companions, they said that she already made the ifadah on the day of an-Nahr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ukhruju, go out. And in another word, he said, no then. And meaning she's not going to hold us back. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that she had her menses, and he thought possibly that she didn't make the tawaf al-ifadah yet, he said, ahabisatunahiyya, and is she going to hold us back? Meaning that the woman who was on her menses and she did not make the tawaf ifadah yet, she's going to be, the tawaf, the obligation of the tawaf is going to cause her to stay there. هذا الواجب يحبسها في مكة حتى تطهر, is going to cause her to stay there and to remain there until she becomes clean and she performs that rite. So whenever the companions radiallahu anhum informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she already made tawaf al-ifadah before the menses came, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, no, she's not going to hold us back now. So here we see that the one who did not perform tawaf al-ifadah, he is held back and must remain in Mecca until he performs it. And this is from the evidence is that it's an obligation. Likewise, we see that it's from the knowledge of the companions previously that they understood that likewise that this is an obligation, and that the one who didn't perform it will hold them back. And if there's a woman, for example, who was on her menses and did not get an opportunity to make that tawaf, she will remain in Mecca until she becomes clean and makes that tawaf. And this obligation will prohibit her from leaving. It's something that cannot be left. So this is from the evidences the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, to clarify that it's a pillar. That it is a pillar. That is a pillar and it's something that cannot be left. So now the issue is, what is the time for tawaf al-ifadah? The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that this tawaf al-ifadah, which is the pillar from the pillars of al-hajj, it has two times. يعني له وقتان. Waqtu fadila wa waqtu ijza. Waqt fadila, the time which is the virtuous time, the best time, the most virtuous and preferred time. And waqt ijza, and the time for ijza. What does ijza mean? This term came before. Huh? Al ijza, to suffice. The term in Arabic? براءه الذمه وسقوط الطلب وسقوط الطلب براءه الذمه وسقوط الطلب براءه الذمه meaning that he will be free of blame and the obligation of performing that or the requirement of performing that will be lifted any meaning that he's free of blame he has performed the obligation he's not required to perform it again that particular obligation he's free of blame from that and he's not held accountable any for that obligation is lifted from him and he's not required to perform it again and he fulfilled that right so with regards to tawaf al-ifada there's a time that's the best and most virtuous time that it should be performed in and this is in accordance to the way of the sunnah and the way of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and there's a time that one performed it at this time is considered correct and he had performed the right he had caught the pillar and his hajj will be correct in this manner and the hajj will be correct in this manner we had discussed in a number of previous classes not about hajj but in other classes some of the acronyms that the people of knowledge they mentioned with regards to different aspects of memorizing knowledge and from the benefits that we used to hear from our Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad hafizahullah ta'ala I mentioned before a number of different acronyms from them one that was related to our topic now which is very important Ranhat. Ahsanta. Ranhat. Ranhat. This is four letters. Ra, Nun, Ha, Ta. Ranhat. These four letters here, this is an acronym for the Tartib A'mal Yawm al-Nahr. Tartib A'mal Yawm al-Nahr, yani according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The actions of the day of al-Nahr, of the people of Hajj, there are a number of them. But the manner or the order or the arrangement to perform them are on these letters here. Ran, Hat. So the Ra is? Ar-Rami. Ramyu Jamarat al-Aqaba. And Ran, Nun. Al-Nahr, to slaughter the Hadi. For the Mutamatti' and the Qarin. Al-Ha' الحلق الحلق أو التقصير نعم الحلق to shave or to shorten the hair and then طواف طواف الإفاضة so this is the arrangement to perform these actions on the day of Eid for those who are making Hajj first to whenever he comes back from Muzdalifah he leaves Muzdalifah in the morning time after he prays the Fajr prayer he'll wait there until the sun is almost coming up but hasn't come up yet and then he'll leave. And then he'll leave and go to Mina. And whenever he goes to Mina, there is the Jamrah. He will stone Jamrah al Aqaba seven times. And then after that, he will slaughter the animal. And after that, he will shave his head. And after that, he will make the Ziyarah to Mecca and make the Tawaf. This is the arrangement of the order. So this is the best way. So the one who's going to do it this way, then he's not going to be making the Tawaf sometime after Fajr. He's gonna in this manner like this. He's gonna be making tawaf sometime after Fajr. So therefore, this is the best way. This is the best way. We'll discuss now waqtu al-ijza. Waqtu al-ijza, and so that we know how to catch the pillar. The earliest time one can make the tawaf is the earliest time that's allowed to leave Muzdalifah. Which many of the people of knowledge have mentioned the middle of the night for those people who are old or are sick or are weak and the likes like this or along with them it's allowed for them to leave Muzdalifah after middle of the night or rather what's better is the last third of the night after the moon has gone away yani ba'da ghaybubat al-qamar. Which is an obligation that we'll discuss any inshallah in the wajibat. But the point is now that Allah knows best the first opportunity to make tawaf al-ifada would be in the after the middle of the night or even better the last third of the night of Muzdalifah. Of the night of Muzdalifah and not before that. This is the allowed time. But some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that rather it would not be allowed until after Fajr. So it's better to be after Fajr, even better after sunrise. And the Duha time, this is the best time. But it's allowed Yani in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. Those people of knowledge who have this position, they mentioned that even for those women who they are afraid that they might have their menses coming soon, that they should hasten to go at this time. That way they can make tawaf al-ifada as soon as possible. As soon as possible. So it would be in the middle of the night, or better, the last third of the night, and the first opportunity to make tawaf al-ifada on the night of Muzdalifah. And whenever it's allowed for the people to leave. Whenever it's allowed for the people to leave. For the people to leave. What is better and what is more preferable is that it will be performed in the duha time, after making the rami, and after making the nahr, and after making the halq. That's the best time to do it. In the duha time, on the day of Eid, after performing these other actions. But even if a person who did one of those actions before the other, still to do it in the daytime like this is better and more preferable. And Allah knows best. So the people of knowledge, again, they mentioned that the earliest time to perform this pillar, Tawaf al-Ifada, is after the middle of the night, on the night of Muzdalifah. On the night of Muzdalifah. And yeah, the earliest time to leave from Muzdalifah. But the people of knowledge, they even differed about that, and it's more preferred, yani, to leave, if ones want to leave early, before Fajr, and the last third of the night. This one is even safer. This is the opinion of Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, based upon narrations that have come with regards to that. And we discuss those narrations, inshallah, whenever we discuss that obligation of staying the night in Al-Muzdalifah. And it's preferred and better to perform it in the after Fajr time. And even more preferred and better to perform it after stoning the Jamrah, and after slaughtering the Hadi, and after shaving the head, and the Duha time before Dhuhr. Before Dhuhr on the day of Eid. This is the time of the Sunnah, and the best time to perform it. Although if he performed it before that, as has mentioned, it would be considered correct. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they have agreed that if one were to perform it in any of the days of on the day of Eid, any time, or the days of Tashriq, it would be considered correct likewise. It would be considered correct likewise. And also the people of knowledge, they have agreed as well that with regards to the correctness of tawaf ifal, the siha, that is considered correct, that he performed it and it will be accepted, there's no limit to how long it can be done. And it will be considered correct. And whether if he performed it in the days of Tashriq, no doubt about that. The scholars will consider it correct, and they will not consider him have to make any expiation. Even if he performed it in the days of Dhul Hijjah after that, or even in Muharram, or even a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, any however long later, there's no limit for him to perform it. But a person, that doesn't mean he will not delay it. The point is now just to know the ruling. To know the ruling, whether one, he should hasten to perform it. He should hasten to perform it. So in general, the scholars have no difference of opinion that there's no limit to the end of the window. The end of the window, yani, before performing that action. But they differed about the one who delayed it. Yani, the one who delayed it for no excuse. The one who delayed it for no excuse after the days of Tashriq, they differed. Or after the days of Dhul Hijjah, they differed. Whether he's going to have to pay an expiation or not. But in any case, a person, he would not delay it. Whether he'll perform it in the proper time, to the best of his ability, or at least in those days of Tashriq, and at bare minimum in the month of Dhul Hijjah, at least in the month of Dhul Hijjah. But if something happened, he were delayed, it will be accepted from him even after that. Even after that, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. After this, we have the pillar of As-Sa'i. As-Sa'i bayn As-Safa wa Marwa. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, in As-Safa wa Marwa min Shi'a'ir Allah. That indeed As-Safa wa Marwa from the Shi'a'ir, yani the sacred rites of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wasa'i huwa al-mashyu al-shadeed. You need to hasten a person to walk quickly. To walk quickly. This is called a sa'i. So these two mountains, they're well known. A portion of a mountain, Safa, and then a mountain, the top of a mountain, or a portion of a mountain, a high rise, and the likes is a Safa, and then you have a Marwa on the other end. So this is a pillar the people of Nadas, they have mentioned, and has been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says, ما أتم الله حج امرئ ولا عمرته ما لم يطوف بين الصفا والمروة متفقون عليه. That Aisha رضي الله عنها, she says herself, that Allah will not complete the Hajj of a person nor his Umrah so long as he did not go back and forth between Safa wa Marwa. And likewise, it has been narrated by Habiba bint Abi Tajzia radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Is'aw fa'inna Allah kataba alaykum sa'i, that you must make the sa'i, because indeed Allah has prescribed and made obligatory upon you to make the sa'i. And this is collected by Al-Imam Ahmed and also Al-Hakim and also Dharqutni, and it is a narration that is authentic. So therefore the sa'i is also a pillar from the pillars of Al-Hajj, from the pillars of Al-Hajj. So these are the pillars of Hajj. What are they? Al-Ihram and Wuf Arafah, Tawaf Al-Ifadah and Tawaf Al-Ifadah wa Sa'i bayna Safa wa Marwa. These are four of them. Three of them are also pillars for Umrah, and that is Al-Ihram wa Tawaf wa Sa'i. Tawaf wa Sa'i. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, with regards to Umrah. With regards to Umrah, the Sa'i, it has to be after Tawaf. It has to be, when you're making Umrah, you make Ihram, then you make Tawaf, and then you make Sa'i. If a person, he made Ihram, then he made Sa'i before Tawaf, it would not be correct. If he made Tawaf and it wasn't correct, it wasn't right, he didn't do it properly, and then he made Sa'i, then he has to, and he has to redo his Tawaf, he would have to also redo his Sa'i, because the Sa'i has to come after the Tawaf, Tawaf and Sahih. So if a person, he made Tawaf, and then he made Sa'i, and then he doubted, he asked the fatwa, well, I did this in my Tawaf. For example, I lost my wudu. And then I made Sa'i. He's going to say, the scholar is going to say, you have to go back and make Tawaf again, make wudu and go make Tawaf again. And many of the scholars mentioned that from the conditions of Tawaf is to have Tahara. So then if he did this, and then he made Sa'i, they're going to tell him, go back and finish the Tawaf, make the Tawaf again, and then make the Sa'i again, because the Sa'i that is the pillar of Umrah comes after Tawaf and Sahih, the correct Tawaf. As for the Sa'i of Hajj, for the one who's making Tamattu', then the Sa'i will not be correct except in the same time as the time of Tawaf al-Ifadah. He can't make the Sa'i for the pillar any before the time that it's allowed to make Tawaf al-Ifadah. What time was that? The middle of the night on the night of Muzdalifah. Better than that, after Fajr, after Shuruq, on the day of Eid. So the earliest time to make Sa'i is the earliest time to make Tawaf al-Ifadah. Then the people of Nanas, they differed about if a person making Tamattu', he made Sa'i before Tawaf al-Ifadah. They mentioned that it would be correct. A number of scholars from them, Sheikh Suleiman, Hafidhullah, mentioned it would be correct. And if, for example, a person is making Hajj Tamattu', so he already made Umrah. Now he's making Hajj. You understand? He already made Umrah. Now he's making Hajj. So whenever he's making Hajj, he has to make Tawaf and he has to make Sa'i. So whenever he gets there, he sees that the Mataf, the place for making Tawaf, is very crowded. He's like, oh, Allah Akbar, I'm going to go make Sa'i. And he goes and makes Sa'i first. And then after that, he comes back and makes Tawaf. A number of the people of Nadas mentioned that this is correct and allowed. The origin is to make Tawaf first and then to make Sa'i. But here the pillar is established in this manner like this. This is for the one who's making Tamattu'. This is for the one who's making Tamattu'. As for the one who's making Qiran, or he's making Ifrad, then he only has to make one Sa'i. So, but whenever they come to Mecca, they'll make Tawaf and Qudum. This is with regards to them, Sunnah. And anybody who comes to Mecca and he comes to a Masjid al-Haram, it's legislated for him to make Tawaf al-Qudum. Tawaf al-Qudum is the Tawaf. Qudum, it means the Tawaf of arrival. So the Masjid al-Haram, it has special tahiyyah. Like this masjid that we have now has Tahiyyat al-Masjid. And every other masjid has Tahiyyat al-Masjid. What is Tahiyyat al-Masjid? Tahiyyat al-Masjid, what is that? Two rak'ah. To make two rak'ah. Before you sit down, you make two rak'ah. And al-Masjid al-Haram, when you come, you make Tawaf seven times around the Kaaba. We discuss the details of this inshallah in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.